Welcome to Life Connect with Counties and with me, Penny Curley, on our fourth day of Days with David. And we're looking at Psalm 27. So far, David has declared his relationship with his Lord. He's expressed his confidence in the Lord's ability to protect him and to show and has shown us that his deepest desire is to be in God's presence. That is the sort of Christian I want to be. David has reassured me and he has inspired me. But now we get to verse 7 and I feel the tone of the psalm changes again. And this time I hear echoes of my darker, less comfortable days. Let's read the psalm again. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the wicked advance, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Yeah! And now we get to verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. And your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, my God, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Do you always feel confident and safe in your faith? Do you always have a strong desire to be in God's presence? If you do, then you have a remarkable blessing. You've been gifted with that. Be thankful for it. Because I have to admit that I don't. And I totally empathise with Paul when he complains that he has the desire to do what is good but cannot carry it out. He says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 and 19, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It's not false or reprehensible to experience both the confidence and assurance and doubt and fear on the same day, or even within minutes of each other. That, I'm afraid, is human. But it's what you do with that doubt and fear that is what identifies you as a mature Christian. And this David demonstrates for me in verse 7, and I hope for you too. He calls out to God and he pleads for mercy, a hearing and an answer. Even when it seems that God is silent or he has hidden his face from David in anger, we don't know what David's done, or in this particular instance anyway, but he knows that he's angered God and that things are not right between them. But still, David keeps on calling. So that's what we need to do. Keep on calling, however distant God seems, however far away. Do you know what else he does? He listens to his heart. Verse 8 says, "My heart says of you, seek his face, and your face, Lord, I will seek." When you've been a Christian for some time, experiencing God in all aspects of your life, then your common sense, I think, begins to morph, or you develop a Christian sense. When God feels far away, when you feel perhaps abandoned or unheard, your heart tells you not to give up, to keep seeking, to keep on going, to keep on keeping on. However, just like you can ignore your common sense, you can also ignore your Christian sense. If you're struggling and the Holy Spirit prompts you to talk to someone, go somewhere, put time aside, reread a helpful book, listen to a talk or a song, don't ignore him. Don't squash the prompting down or excuse yourself somehow, or even just procrastinate, put it off. Get on and do it. It is God helping you to recover that awareness of his presence. I recently heard of a mother who disciplined her daughter for her misdemeanours by ignoring her. She would provide food and clean laundry and even lifts to school, but she would not look at her or speak to her or interact with her or react to her in any way until the time of punishment was over, and that child's deepest desire was for intimacy. Intimacy with her nearest family. And when that was denied, it scarred her deeply. And do you know what? I believe more and more that the desire for intimacy is the underlying motivation for many of our own behaviours and many of those that we see in the people around us. And do you know what? God understands this. After all, he designed us that way. He designed us with a need for intimacy. But do you know what? I've said that 3 times now. Do you know what? He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us bereft of the opportunity to find that intimacy. His desire for a close relationship with us is just as strong, stronger, strong enough for him to send Jesus to be punished in our stead and then raised from death to life, so that we can be friends with him. Then in verse 9 of Psalm 27, David says, "You have been my helper." David can look back on countless times when he's known God's help and his presence, and he recalls them to encourage himself, even when his most important human relationships let him down. Verse 10, his mother and father will potentially let him down. He reminds himself that the Lord will receive me. David knows his own tendency to stray. It's one of the things I admire most about this man. We see in the accounts of his life and in other Psalms too that he knew when he'd made mistakes, when things needed to be put right and consequences faced and accepted. And so, next, he asks for guidance, to be led in the straight path. Verse 11, which reminds me of one of my favourite verses. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight," or "direct your paths," another translation says. We have a narrow path not far from us that leads directly to the local common. And it's got high hedges and fences and stone walls on either side for its entire length. And it's getting pretty muddy at the moment. Once you're on it, you can't go any other way. You can't deviate from the path because of these high hedges on either side. So it is a very direct path. You've got to go a long way to the left or the right to go right round estates and fields if you go any other route. But this route is the straightest and most the quickest route down to the common. But with all this rain, it's got quite difficult to traverse. The mud has got really, really thick, and the branches of the trees and the bushes have sort of been blown into the middle of the path. So it's you have to sort of negotiate your way round them all. But it isn't always easy to get down it. And I think God's straight path is a little bit like that. You know exactly where you're going. It's straightforward in lots of ways, but it's not always easy. It's not always the easiest path, but it's always going to the same place, and there's a wonderful security in that. And I think that could be what David's request is all about, wanting to know he's going in the direction God wants for him and on the path that he's set out. One of the reasons for that request, we see in verse 11, he says, because my oppressors, or my watchful foes, as it says in one of the Wycliffe translation, I think, and because that's verse 11, and verse 12 talks about false witnesses and malicious accusations. These sorts of trials can be particularly hurtful, especially if they come from inside our family or inside our church family. We need to ask for God's protection from them, as David does, but we find ammunition to help us deal with these sorts of slander elsewhere in the Bible too. We've been looking at 1 Peter at Duncan Road Church over the last few weeks, and it's been really helpful. And Peter, in that, those chapters, is particularly the first one, is at pains to remind us that we are being observed, we're being watched by the people around us. 1 Peter 2 verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Our recommended course of action in Peter is to live good lives. You have to read the rest of 1 Peter if you want to know what that looks like in practice, and it's quite a challenge. Be prepared. I'd like to finish this morning by reminding you of what we've seen in Psalm 27, in David's words this morning. If you're struggling, if you're having a difficult time, if you feel that perhaps God is not there, not listening, David's example shows us that we need to just keep on calling upon God. We need to listen for your heart's Christian sense promptings. Do what the Holy Spirit directs you to. Don't leave it or postpone it or pass it over, but what your heart tells you to do in terms of getting intimacy with God, do those things. And thirdly, remember your past experiences with God. Look back over your life and over your answered prayers, and remember what God has done for you. And fourthly, ask God to lead you in straight paths. Request that he guides you. Fifthly, live good lives in God's power as a witness to God's power. Thank you for listening.